Blog Talk Radio.
Evening. This is Thursday, May the 31st, 2018. It's 8 p.m. You know what we do every Thursday night here on the PRF table. We come live to you. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, also sitting here hosting. We also have the number one voice. We call her mom around the table. Her name is Mary Ann Williams. Mama, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, and good evening to my PRF family. Just, you know, excited that you could be with us this evening. So we're going to all enjoy the show.
That's right. We're going to enjoy the show, Mama. Well, listen, this is what we've been talking about. Tonight is the finale. We've been talking in my monthly series, How to Be the Lender and Stop Borrowing. How to Be the Lender and Stop Borrowing. And so we've come to you every week talking about various different principles and practices, and what does the Word of God say about being the lender and not borrowing, and who was God talking to. But tonight, we're just going to wrap it up. I hope that we get your phone calls. I hope that we get your messages so that we can respond to whatever it is that, one, you've received from what God has given us over these last 4 weeks, and two, to be able to ask your questions. You know, it's amazing to me, Mama, that folk got questions about lending at the time they want to borrow.
Yes.
Can I tell you something? Maybe that's not the best time to find out about lending practices when you want to borrow. Especially when God has given something in His Word that tells us how we can do certain things when it comes to lending and when it comes to borrowing. So the whole series, this is How to Be the Lender and Stop Borrowing series, it comes from the course that we teach called Credit and Debt are First Cousins. And so what we've been saying all month, if we had to say the whole totality, is enough is enough. It's time for you to be the lender and stop the borrowing. Stop being the borrower. Enough is enough. It's time for you to be the lender and stop being the borrower. So Mama, let's get in. I would like to come to you, Mama. If you don't have anything, that's fine. You know, I won't put nobody on the spot, but if there's something burning in you, or if there's something that you can recap from last week about something that we've covered, we yield the floor to you. I want to make sure, you know, sometimes I get a little excited on some of these lessons, and I got to make sure I keep Mama, you know, keep Mama in respects, you know. But go ahead, Mama. If there's anything, let me know. If not, we'll keep on rolling.
Okay. First say we have to have the knowledge and understanding about the difference between the lender and the borrower. We also have to go to the Word of God, which will give us the knowledge that we need. And then if we do not understand about borrower and lender, it's good that we ask someone that we know that understands about borrowing and lending. Also, we have to have a plan. We have to have a plan, you know. And sometimes we don't always follow our plan, but we to celebrate the things that we have done towards being the lender and not the borrower. Amen.
Mama, you done set an outline for us. So first thing is have the knowledge. There needs to be some knowledge that an individual has. If you're going to borrow, if you're going to put yourself in a place of debt to another person, to another entity, to somebody outside of the body, man, you got to know who you're dealing with. So when you say have the knowledge, I'm thinking, man, you have to have the knowledge of who you're dealing with. And then I love when you said, go to the Word of God. So we're going to do that. Let's go to Acts. Man, it's crazy that this is just lining up to where we were on Monday night. But if you go to Acts chapter 8, so I'm telling this to everybody to be just kind of just roll with this for a moment. But in Acts chapter 8, there's a story about Philip and an Ethiopian eunuch. I got to stay on this text, right? So
yes.
It says, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south. Now, this is right after the seven were selected among the people because of the dispute between the two groups of widows in Acts chapter 6. I ain't going to call them deacons because that ain't what the Bible called. But he said, go down south, go down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. Now, see, there's the angel of the Lord that came to him. So now see, he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, Ethiopian eunuch, had great authority under the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Remember, everybody was there in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, right? And now he was returning. So now he's seated up in his carriage, right? And he's reading a book aloud from the book of Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, now remember, what did the angel of the Lord say? The angel of the Lord said, just go down south. It didn't say anything about what he was going to do, who he was going to encounter, just say, I need you to go. Then the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, as he was doing what God, what the Spirit of the Lord told him to do, the Spirit says, go over and walk beside the carriage. Remember, this was a governmental official, right? So this person wasn't walking.
Yes.
This person was in the carriage. And we're not talking about 2018 where you can get your car to go from here to there and be in, you know, somewhere in 2 hours. So Philip goes over and he listens and hears this man reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip says, you know, do you understand what you are reading? See, mama, there's no need to go to the Word of God. And then when you don't understand, you don't ask anybody. But let me flip that thing. See, we act like people have somebody that they can ask when they don't understand. We may think that, but that doesn't mean that that's the case. Just because somebody is sitting in the church does not mean that there's somebody in the church that can help them understand credit and debt, understand about being a lender, except for just giving them that same old scripture out of Deuteronomy. So
I agree.
Watch what happened. Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, how can I unless somebody instructs me? Why are we talking about this? We're talking about this because there's a lack of other folks instructing on it. But you know what's crazy to me, Mama? It's crazy how I've dealt with many individuals who have houses, who have cars, who have lease agreements, who purchase stuff on credit cards, and have never checked their credit. There's a breakdown in what their understanding is about being the lender and the borrower. Maybe they don't understand their position as being a lender. Maybe all they know is borrow, 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 because maybe that's all they saw all their life. But I like how what Philip said, what the man said, how can I unless somebody instruct me? Now, here's what the Bible says, and he urged Philip to come up into his carriage and sit with him. Here's the thing. You can't expect God to move within this realm of credit and debt, within this realm of being the lender and the borrower, if you're going to let pride get in the way.
Yes.
He said, I don't know what I'm reading. I'm reading it because I'm reading it. This is what everybody doing. They're reading from the prophet, from the scroll. But when Philip asked that question, he had an option. He could have said, no, I'm good. You know what you read? Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. He could have took a position. I'm higher than you. I'm good. I'm good. But he said, you know what, man? I'm not even going to lie about it. I'm not going to act like I know what I'm reading when I don't.
Something
very simple. And so because there was an inquiry, as Philip was obedient to the Holy Spirit as well as to the angel of the Lord, it opened up the conversation for him to get what you said, have the knowledge. Yeah, we say, and I get what you said when you said, you know, first thing is you got to have the knowledge. Well, first of all, somebody got to give it. I don't care if you're looking at the internet on how to be. I don't care if you're looking at the internet dealing with stuff about lending and borrowing. Somebody had to put it on the internet for you to be able to get to access to.
That's right.
So it's not that it's just it's out there and everybody has. No, sometimes folks don't know what to do. Sometimes folks don't know what to do. So and then you said, think about what you said. Ask. That's why I'm in Acts chapter 8, not where I plan to go, but I guess is where we need to be. Ask someone who understands. Now, see, let's go back to Acts chapter 8. Ask someone who understands. What was said in the text? Philip asked them, did he understand what he was reading? He said, I don't know. How can I if I don't have nobody that's going to show me? But then he was the one who urged Philip to get up. He was the one who said, hey, won't you come on up here and then it opened up an opportunity. I'm about to go somewhere. It opened up an opportunity for Philip to share the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
That's what my Bible says.
Amen.
That's what my Bible says. It said, so beginning with that same scripture, so he started at the place of where he was not knowledgeable of, but he was doing what he thought he was supposed to be doing, which was reading the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. So Philip started there.
Yes.
And then he goes into telling about the good news of Jesus. Yes. Maybe some folk got it kind of twisted, Mama. Maybe some folk are so much into, I got to share Jesus. And maybe the model is backwards. The model that I keep seeing in the Bible is people got dealt with where they were. When Jesus came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, he dealt with that man. That man's faith was shook. Jesus dealt with it. The first thing he said was, I need you to believe in me because I need to make sure you go to heaven. Nah, my son got these doggone epileptic seizures, using language from today.
Yeah.
Jesus ain't saying, oh, we'll deal with them seizures later. I need you to accept me as your Lord and your Savior. The whole thing is, it wasn't ignored with what the person did not know. It wasn't ignored. He dealt with it. And then it opened up an opportunity to share the good news. That's amazing to me. And then if you keep on reading Acts chapter 8, you'll see that there was a dialogue that happened between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Watch this. When somebody invites you in, that means they have a level of comfortability with you. So if the Ethiopian eunuch didn't feel anything from the beginning, when Philip said, oh, hey, do you know what you're reading? If he didn't show any interest in that man.
Yes. Yes.
I guarantee you that man had no reason to invite him in to his carriage. Now, you got to understand something. Look at how God works. Because God told him, the angel of the Lord told him just to go. He was walking. And then the Spirit said, go walk beside the carriage. But because he opened up his mouth, he didn't do it with no ulterior motive. I don't believe. The Bible doesn't say it, but I don't think he did it with ulterior motive when he went over and went and walked beside the carriage. I believe he possessed something inside, some understanding inside of him that he was able to say, you know what, if he has his cat, does he know what he reads? Maybe he was reading it like, and the Lord, maybe he ain't understand how to read that well.
That's right.
Something caused him. I don't know it, but there's so many people that are ignorant when it comes to lending and borrowing, especially from the Word of God. And God is like, listen, Mama Mary Ann, she's saying the right thing. Got to have the knowledge. What we read to you in from the book of Deuteronomy was knowledge, Mama.
Yes, amen.
It was an oral communication of knowledge back then. What we're reading in Deuteronomy was not written. The five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Moses, they They had not been written because we're still reading. It wasn't the end of Deuteronomy. It was in the middle.
Yes.
So God is constantly putting out things, saying, listen, if you just follow how I'm telling you how to do this. Oh, and so let me move on out of there. No, I can't go. I can't go. Somebody who understands. Let me help some of y'all out right now. Anybody who thinks just because somebody has a title, myself included, I don't know everything. That's why I don't talk about everything. I talk about what I know. You don't hear me talk about physics, do you? That would be stupid. That would show my ignorance if I'm sitting up here trying to talk about physics and I ain't never taken a physics class and God hasn't given me a spiritual gift of physics. So anything I try to teach your children is going to be garbage. And you can expect them, oh my goodness, you can expect them to fail the test if you let me teach them physics.
Yeah.
You let me be their tutor. Oh, you can expect them not to get it. Well, that's the way it is when we start dealing with this lending and borrowing, because a lot of people, as you said, have the knowledge, right? So they know that we're supposed to be the lender. They know we're not supposed to be the borrower. They know we're supposed to be the head. They know we're not supposed to be the tail, collectively, as God's chosen people. They know that. But the how, mama, the how
yes.
is what's been missing for so long. So if I don't know how, then how in the world am I going to develop a plan to repay? The only thing that so many people's plan to repay is what a lender says when you need to make your payments.
That's right.
But can I share something with you? And again, if anybody's listening and want to jump in, especially those of you who are listening online, 347-215-7934 is the call-in number. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll see you light up on the switchboard, and we'll bring you in. If all I know is when you borrow money, you make sure you pay it by the due date. Guess what, mama? That's
yeah.
not a full effect of lending and borrowing. Not the principle of lending and borrowing according to God. Because the truth of the matter is, I can pay my loan back every time they say that is due for 30 years. God's plan was not that we be in debt for 30 years. So if you don't know that, and you're sitting up there getting into financial agreements with individuals for 30 years thinking that that's the norm, and you have no knowledge that God said, hold on, 7 years, that's it. Then your repayment plan is only going to be based upon, I got, you know, some, whatever, you know, 360 payments or, yeah, 12. Yeah, whatever number it is. You know, math ain't my thing. I just told y'all that. Don't have me be your physics teacher. Nobody recommending y'all. So we know that if that's all we do is pay that money back when it's supposed to be paid back on the first of the month, and we drag that thing out forever, that's not a good plan to repay. What about paying extra? What about paying your mortgage every other week and having it applied every other week versus once a month? What about making
yeah.
an extra payment every year? See, that's how you understand about being the lender, how to be the lender, and to stop borrowing. That's part of the stop borrowing piece. Because as long as you have so much that you owe, it's going to restrict what you're able to lend. It restricts it.
Yes.
So I mean, you got us there already. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad, so glad that you brought that up. Because people need
you
to
know.
Hear that. Go ahead, Mama. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just as you were reading, following instructions. It's so important that, you know, when we're being taught, we follow the instructions, and then if we don't understand, come back to the person who's teaching you. because sometimes we'll, you know, in math, you know, as you know, and even was a teacher, and I wasn't that good in math, and the way she would teach it to me would be different than the way the nuns taught it to me, but still you were getting the same result. But it was bringing confusion to me, because I would say, I didn't understand it all, but this is not the way that, you know, the nuns was teaching me. So it's so important to follow the person who's teaching you so that you can understand what they are doing. But when we bring other people in to try to follow the instructions that another teacher gives us, it brings on confusion. So it's just important that you follow the person that's teaching you so that you can understand what they are saying. And so that's what I got out of Isaiah. He followed instructions to the end. Philip. He followed instructions.
Yeah. And if you can't follow those instructions, how can you follow a plan to repay? If you can't follow some of the simple instructions on how to be the lender. You don't follow God's instructions. Whose instructions are you following? But go ahead, Mama.
No, I was thinking about the I'm forgetting his name that was in the carriage. You know, he also, I believe God was speaking to him also, had him at the right place at the right time, and he also was following the instructions that, you know, to want to share. You know, mm-hmm. when he asked that question, you know, he didn't have to say, well, okay, I'll get back with you later. You know, I have something to do. He took out that time to help him with the knowledge that he had.
Right.
And that opened
That's
up
right.
a door of opportunity for Philip.
Mama, I'm not going to mess anybody up, but I'm going to give it to y'all in these last couple of minutes because this is it. This is the finale. One of the greatest things that you can do, all of us, when it comes to the stop borrowing, because I'm going to end on this as we stop for the night for this end of this series, I'm focusing intentionally on the stopping part. Okay. Stop borrowing. How to stop borrowing. People, you have to understand that we're not talking about that you should never borrow from anybody. What we're saying is simply this, that we believe that God has something better for us. If we're always borrowing, if that's the only frame of reference you have when it comes to debt is borrowing, Then what do you do when somebody comes to you asking to borrow from you? So many folks say they don't have it. I can't do it. Well, then the question has to come up. Why can't you lend to your brother in his time of need? Why can't you lend to your sister in her time of need? Come on, church folk. Come on, pastors. Why can't you lend to that church member that's been a faithful, quote-unquote, a faithful tithe for the last 20 years? Why can't you do that? God is not making, he's not accepting any excuses when lending and borrowing is a biblical principle laid out in his word for his people. Let me tell you, Mama, I'm going to be presumptuous for a moment. Based upon years and years of being on this battlefield and talking to folks and dealing with folks. You know why folk why it's hard for folk to stop borrowing? Because we're not doing our job collectively as the body of Christ. It's real simple. I asked a question the other week. Where are the churches that's the lenders? See, we can't play this game. Y'all can't play this game that you're the church one day and then play the game that you're the children of Israel. You're from the children. And what God was saying to the children of Israel the next day. See, God is not playing this little pity-pat game between Old Testament and New Testament. Jesus said it like this. I've come to give life and to give life more abundantly. When you lend, you are giving something to somebody else for a period of time that doesn't have what you have. But relationship is the key. The reason why so many people can't stop borrowing is because they don't have no real relationship with the individuals who they think they got relationship with. Go to your church on Sunday, mama, and say, can I borrow $50 from the church today? I'm sorry, mama, you're going to get disappointed. I challenge anybody. Go to your church on Sunday. Matter of fact, do it after the offering. Do it after service is over. And then go to somebody in leadership and say, can I borrow $50 from the church? Got a little situation. I ain't talking about making up nothing. I'm just talking about if you need it. I'm talking about y'all who need it. Go to the same place that you gave your last $2 and say, can I borrow? And watch the response. I dare folks to call the churches and ask them the question, hey, I'm in a situation, I know y'all don't give, I don't want you to give, but can I borrow? So you know the difference between asking somebody to borrow something, you're saying that you're going to give it back.
Yes.
So you ain't, when I lent you something, I ain't gave you a handout. For most people, it's tough to ask people to borrow something, just as it's tough for a lot of folks to ask folks to give them something. But can I say this as a man? If I was in a financial bond and I went to one of my partners, I was like, hey, man, can I borrow $20 until Friday? That's a whole lot different than saying, hey, man, can I get $20? They ain't going to get it back. But I am able as a man, because I know I have something else coming in, to be able to repay you. So I can tell you as a man, I will feel better about myself than being in a position to borrow from you versus asking you just to give me something.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. You shall be the lender and not the borrower. I'm like, well. I don't understand why that's so difficult. So again, when we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 15, and we break that down, going back to verse 6, right? You will lend to me, and they will never need to borrow. My Bible says, Mama, you will never need to borrow. You will never need to borrow outside of the nation. All of you who I brought from Egypt. And I'm taking you, they ain't even in the promised land yet, but I'm taking you into the promised land. So the beauty is, when you get to the promised land, you'll be able to lend them any nation. Y'all ain't going to have to borrow from them. When you get there, can I tell you what's an issue? A lot of folk believe because they got Christ, they're there. Nope. Because if we ain't doing this, ain't in my good Dr. English. If we ain't doing this, if we ain't doing the lending and the borrowing, then all we're doing is borrowing from those other nations. And the rules that we operate by are their rules, not God's rules. So you can't never be ahead of the game for somebody that you're helping to be ahead of the game. See, oh my goodness, this one came to me. Mama.
Yes.
The scripture says, it came to me, it's leaving me. my goodness. I don't know what's going on. Go ahead, Mama. I'll let you go ahead and jump in while I try to think of what I'm trying to say.
Okay. There has to be, you know, God says, you know, in the book of Psalms, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, he was talking about telling, say, fret not because of the works of iniquity, Psalm 37. Oh, my God, I'm losing my thought. And he said, oh, my gosh. Oh, he will give you the desires of your heart. And it's what we desire, you know. Philip desired to understand. He wanted to learn about what he was reading.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we hear about things that we do not understand, that's going to bless us, there has to be a desire to want to do better in our finances.
Exactly. The scripture that I was trying to think of, it just couldn't come to me, so I apologize. The one scripture, Mama, it came to me. Proverbs 17:18. No, not Proverbs. Proverbs 13:22. You've heard me talk about this so much. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, right?
Yes.
But you know the rest of the verse? See, that's why we got to be real careful about who teaches, right? Because sometimes folks don't give us the whole thing. Don't give me a half of a Big Mac when I ordered a full Big Mac. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the wicked, but a sinner's wealth is laid up, is stored up for the righteous. See, think about this, Mama. If we're not going to deal with this whole thing of being the lender and not the borrower, when you read a text like that, coming after talking about inheritance in the same verse, I can tell you this. This is what God revealed to me a good while back. You know why the wealth of the wicked, you know why the sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous?
No.
Because God can't release it to the righteous. See, if you don't have the right type of mindset, why would God release something to you for you to make a mess of it? He may allow it, but why would he give it to you? Why would he just give you $1 million if you ain't taking care of the $100 that you got in the bank right now?
Yeah.
So maybe
right.
There's some things that God is saying, listen, I want y'all to get some stuff together, get some stuff in order. But until you do, listen, it's just sitting there. It's just stored up. And the truth be told, when you really talk about the borrowing of many nations, a lot of that wealth is from the wicked. Money is used to fund wars. Money is used to put up liquor stores. Money is used for all type of things that ain't got nothing to do with godliness that goes through our banking system. But yet, those are the ones that we, by and large, support, myself included. But as I've learned better, oh yeah, I start doing better, right?
Yes.
So let me again. So if your mindset, all of you who are listening, is about being the lender. If you take a hold to what God said in his word, that's what he said in Deuteronomy 15:6. I ain't make it up. You shall be the lender, not the borrower. If you take it and you say, you know what, this is where I'm supposed to be positioned, then maybe your prayers need to change. Maybe how you spend your money needs to change. I'm telling you, he didn't give this to us for any old reason. Just no reason. He gave it to us for a purpose. He's really in desiring for us to really get this in our heads and then get this into our spirits. I'm not going to have to be borrowing money from Wells Fargo all my life. Don't know where you're going to get it from. But that $300 that you got as a loan from Wells Fargo, that $1,000 that you got from this other bank, let me stop calling them names out. Y'all know them regular names. They ain't paying us no money on this show. Don't know where you're going to get it from. But that $1,000 here, that $500 here, man, please. How can you tell me that you can't get that from the church? Because the church does not desire to be the lender. So until the church, and I say the universal church, understands that there's a whole different way of currency according to God. And it's not borrowing from, listen, I give you an example. I can go right in my shred box and find. Look at the next time you get an application. I want everybody to do this. Please do this. The next time you get an application for somebody that's trying to give you a credit card or get you to buy a loan, to borrow money through a loan, I want you to look at the back, particularly in some of these big name companies, quote unquote big name. And I want you to look at when, even though it may say 0% APR for the first 6 months or the first year, even though it may say your first year of membership fee of $55 is waived for the first, it may say all that, but I want you to look on the backside. I'm going to show you how to be the lender and stop borrowing. So when you look on the backside, you're going to see where it says after that promotional period is over with.
Yes.
The APR is going to be 15.99 to 26.99. And here's what I say. How in God's green earth are you sending me this application when I know doggone well my credit score is deserving of better than a 15.99? Because they're not doing it based upon your credit score. They're not doing it based upon how you paid your bills. They're putting it out there, just throwing it out there, hoping that anybody that just says, oh, this looks like a good deal, anybody with that borrowing mindset will just bite the bait on the hook. Then how do you become a lender taking that type of bait? Because 15.99% on $100 is $15.99. And don't let them all of a sudden say, you know what, you done paid this $200 off, we're going to give them a credit increase. You ain't doing me no favor. Because that APR is still 15.99. I asked the crazy question, how long is it going to be at 15.99? I paid what, year, 2 years? Because if I'm making good payment history, how come my interest rate staying the same? That's that lender's mindset, mama. That's not a borrower's mindset. Oh, my goodness. We got a couple more minutes, mama. Let me bring these last two, because this is going to really help some folks when it comes to this whole thing. Again, we're talking about the how.
Yes.
Here's another thing that's really going to help us with the how. How do you stop borrowing? How do you stop being the borrower? How do you stop having that borrower's mindset? One of the things is follow what God's wisdom says. Here's what she says in Proverbs 17:18, mama.
Yes, okay.
One who has no sense shakes hands and pledge and puts up security for a neighbor. What in the world are you talking about? We're talking about cosigning. We talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about cosigning. The New Living, y'all know I like the New Living Translation. It's poor judgment to guarantee another person's debt. or put up security for a friend. Poor judgment? This is what wisdom is telling us? Poor judgment? Yeah, poor judgment, y'all. Poor judgment. See, this is how so many people have to keep borrowing, and it affects them from being the true lender that God has called them to be. That proverb, she talks about it again. It says real specifically, don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for somebody else. If you can't, even your bail will be snatched from you. Even your bed will be snatched? Yes, that thing that provides you comfort, that lets you sleep well at night. Can we put it into real terms?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Your car may be affected. Your house may be affected. Not paying your student loans may be affected. Not paying other debts on time may be affected. Don't agree. See, a lot of folks have co-signed for a lot of folks. And it ain't just been big stuff, mama. You got folks that have put other folks on their plan for the cell phones. And
yes.
I can tell you, I watch enough judge shows, and I use them in my personal law class, and I've seen them on enough credit reports to know that don't work out too well. And so those type of things, because it works out less than it does in a positive nature, those type of things, when folks get messed up or somebody else loses their job, the Bible is saying, listen, don't do that. Don't be the one who does that. Because if they can't repay this thing, it's on you, Jack. And then that messes up their stuff. And so then you wonder why so many people, I can't do it, because, see, there's a whole bunch of people that done got messed up, mama, that you don't know it, but they done got messed up behind this co-signing thing. And so some folks think that folks are being stingy and that their relatives don't want to help. No, they may have been burnt with the co-signing thing, but they still ain't encountered the word where they say, oh, man, I can't do that no more. Not I can't do that no more because I'm mad or I'm pissed off because my cousin done messed me over. It's no, God warns against it. I got the first time because you can't be held for what you don't know. You can only be held accountable for what you do know. God ain't like that. But now that you know, oh, man, this co-signing thing? Mm-hmm. Because, see, that's something that will keep me in the place of constantly having to borrow. Because you co-signed. So that means that affects how much you're able to borrow the next time. And then it becomes tougher to borrow.
Yes.
And the tougher that it is for you to borrow, that says everything about how well you're going to be able to do as a lender. So listen, mama, I pray that God's people will truly listen to what the Spirit is saying. I know the Spirit may not sound like Dr. Dunlap. That's all right, but I hope that the people hear the Spirit of God in what we've been bringing them over these last 5 weeks now. Y'all got 5 weeks of this.
That's
amazing. But again, enough is enough. I pray that everybody's been blessed. So listen, tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same channel, same number, 347-215-7934. We have the wonderful host, Kimberly Salas, that will begin her series for June 2018. It is called If You Can Make $1, Just Duplicate the Process 1 Million Times. I guarantee you, you're going to be in for a treat. I've been hearing her talk about this for months. And next month, here on the PRF table, we are going into a series. The series for next month, June 2018, is Premarital Financial Counseling. Listen, if you got anybody who you know is about to jump over the broom, get hits, whatever you want to call it, get married, jump the broom, elope, listen, you really need them to get to the PRF table so they can get some of this, because we know that it's not being dealt with, talked about, or really explored in the regular quote-unquote counseling. But this is one of the top. And so if nobody else is going to deal with it, here at the PRF table, we're going to deal with it. So, again, my brothers and my sisters, Mama, everybody, on behalf of all of us here at the PRF table, we love y'all. That's why we do what we do. Thank y'all for being with us. Y'all have a wonderful evening. God bless.